go to Romans chapter 5. I want to really ask you guys to be praying this week so that, you know, I know the church is going to be full on Sunday and a lot of people come and a lot of people will be up at the early service up at the tabernacle with all the churches are up there. And people, you know, it's Easter. People are going to come to church and just be praying. People walk in the doors that don't know Jesus and walk out saved. Amen. You're going to be traveling. Well, praise God. You'll be going with God. Did I tell you where to go? Romans chapter 5. Okay, start with verse 1. I sound like a broken record. I know it. If y'all are tired of it, just take a nap, I guess. But I can't get off this message about standing in grace, select grace, and how we just selectively use the grace of God for the things that we want Him to do. We don't ask God's fullness into our life, His full grace into our life, His full mercy into His life, His full revelation, His full truth, everything to come into us. We just take the pieces that we want. We eat the meat, choicest pieces, but we don't want it all. And you know, I was preaching Sunday about the Passover. They had to sit down and they had to eat the Passover lamb. And the instructions were, you know, you had to eat it all and there was nothing left over. And everything that was left had to be burned in the fire. And there's not... The gospel was intended for us to totally and completely digest all of it. All of it. We couldn't take part of it. We had to take all of it. And but what we do is in selective grace, we depend on God for the things that we know we can't do. But if we think we have the slightest chance of accomplishing it on our own, then we won't to do it on our own. And when we do that, it takes us out of the grace of God. It takes us... I don't mean that you're not saved. I don't mean that. But it means you're doing it by your works, your ability, your strength. You're going to grow tired. You're going to grow weary. You're going to grow, it's not going to be happy. It's not going to be good. And so we got to look at the picture of what God really wants us to do and what everything about this whole Easter week was about. Was about Jesus going to the cross and shedding His blood, being that Passover lamb, being that lamb that was staked out on the cross for us, and that His blood was being poured out for us for a reason. Now, you know, if you go and you read the account, and you read through all of this, you see that when Mary met Jesus in the garden, she said to Him, she went to touch Him. He said, "Don't touch Me, because I've not yet ascended into My God and under your God. So go back and tell all those guys that." And what He was doing was He was going up and He was literally, His blood was being poured out on that mercy seat in heaven. It was literally going to be poured out on that mercy seat so that blood stood forever speaking for your life, that your soul, your sins were forgiven because there was a blood. There was something more powerful than anything that you could ever do by works was going to be there for you, crying out for you at the altar of God that you were redeemed. I told you and talked about that Sunday about how the blood speaks and how the blood of Jesus is crying out for you. No, no, no. I paid the price for Him. That's what it's speaking for you. Every time you approach the throne of God, the blood's crying out, "I paid for them." What a powerful thing. Jesus, your lawyer, your advocate, your attorney, your whatever, however you want to look at it, standing in heaven, that every time you come up to the throne, His blood cries out and says, "Nah, they're redeemed." How many times in the Scripture says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so"? That's you. Amen. We're not perfect, but bless God, we're redeemed. We got something crying out for us in heaven, right? But He didn't want us just to take that part of the gospel, just to take the part that we got, because it doesn't do you any good to have that benefit but never go to the throne. It doesn't do you all that good to have all of heaven open to you, all the throne open to you, all the mercy, all the grace, all the wisdom, all the knowledge that God has for you, but you never go partake of it. It doesn't do any good. It's like getting a driver's license and running around shouting, I got a driver's license, but never driving the vehicle. Right? I mean, you know, when people give you a gift certificate to a store, or, you know, wherever, and you've got that thing, you know, I mean, you could say, oh, thank you. That's so nice. It's so awesome. I just appreciate that so much, and put it in your wallet, never use it, and you don't get one benefit other than the good feeling that somebody gave you something. Right? The redemption part of it is when you go to the place and you pick out something and you put it down and they swipe it. So many people, and I love it, they give me Starbucks cards for Christmas. I hadn't bought a cup of Starbucks and I don't know when. And everybody said, oh, Starbucks is so expensive. I can't believe you. Man, it's a gift every time I go in there. I just said, God, just thank you for whoever gave me this. Right there, just thank you. They bought me a cup of coffee today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. I love it. But it doesn't do me any good to have it in my wallet and never use it. The benefit of it is when I get to drink the coffee. Right? And I get to enjoy it. The gift card's great. I'm glad for the thought. But the real joy is drinking the coffee. It's the same thing with heaven. To be redeemed and be able to go to the throne and have God come and touch your life and minister your life, but to never go do it and participate in it, you've missed the real joy. You've missed the victory of walking up to the throne and saying, hello, Daddy, I'm a mess. Can you clean me up? And he does it, and that's the victory. That's the taste. That's the drink. Are y'all with me? So he says, in Romans 1, he says, Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we stand in this grace, this ability to walk back to the throne, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Right? With no number of tickets, no set amount of times. No, well, you know, you've used your limit up. Y'all follow me? We stand in grace, God's willingness to use His power and His ability on our behalf. His willingness to use His power and His ability on our behalf. We stand in it, that position of grace. He said, well, I messed up last week and I did this and I did that. I don't know how God could love me and I, you know, I'm such a mess. He does love you, right? But we've heard that before. He loves you too much to leave you where you are, so He wants you to come to Him. And He wants to work in you and He wants to build you and He wants to grow you and He wants to teach you and He wants to help you so you don't end up that place anymore. But your position is a position of grace, an ability to walk up to the throne and say, Daddy, here I am. I need help. All right? Okay. Now, skip on down, if you would, to verse 12. Let me try to share this with you tonight. And I pray it opens your eyeballs of your soul. Therefore, I'm reading verse 12. Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Okay. He's talking about Adam. Now imagine this. Imagine you're in the garden. You're watching what's going on. And Eve is talking to a snake. You should just walk up and say, something wrong with this picture. But she's talking to a snake. And then Adam comes up and says, what are y'all talking about? He's not alarmed that there's a talking snake in the garden. Bright, man, he's sharp. So she says, well, we're going to eat. I ate from the tree and it, look, I didn't die. So here, eat too. So he eats. The simple act. Now, it wasn't an apple, but, you know, forever we've always said the proverbial apple. Okay, so let's just say it's an apple, all right? It wasn't an apple, but I'm going to say it's an apple. Because they're eating from the fruit of it. She bites into it. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm not a big apple eater. And if I do eat an apple, I cut it off. I usually don't just take an apple and bite into it and try to eat it. I don't know why. It didn't work right in my teeth. It gets all stuck up in there. I just don't like chewing on an apple like that. I'm talking, you know, with the skin on it and everything, right? I'm just not. But just imagine, if you did bite into an apple, right? How big of a piece would you really get? Right? I mean, you with me? You don't, an apple doesn't, you just don't bite it and, you know, it's like, and this big chunk comes off. Are y'all following me here? Y'all look at me like I'm stupid or something. Do you understand what I'm saying? Unless you have really long front teeth or something, you're not going to get a big bite out of an apple. Right? That's why I always take a pocket knife out and cut off a wedge of it and eat an apple like that, right? That little bite that they took, came upon every man, woman, child ever born on the face of the earth. The act they did 6,000 years ago in the garden, it went across every man and is still going across all men. The little bite. What I'm saying, it wasn't a lot. It was a little. Are y'all following me? That's what the Bible, that's what he's saying. The act that took place there, that breaking of God's law caused sin to be upon all mankind and went down forever and is still going. I mean, it's hard to grasp how standing in a garden, biting an apple, could cause that much problems. But there was only one law not to break in the garden, and they broke it. Are y'all following this? Because y'all still looking at me weird. He says here, the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Rome, he's saying, okay, one man's sin entered the world, and then the sin spread to every person. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over all those who had sinned according to the likeness and the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if one man's offense, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. He said, look, just like sin abounded in the garden when one bite of the apple and it went down for everybody, so Jesus and what he did and the act brought grace that spread forth to everybody. So can I say this tonight and be biblical? It is as easy to walk in grace as it is to walk in sin. Right? Would it not? Then that's not true. It is as easy to walk in grace as, well, you say, oh, I don't know about that, Pastor. I mean, you're walking in grace. We don't really understand grace. You get all theological, all religious. You get all, you just fight it all down. But what Paul is saying here is that, look, guys, just like sin abounded to many, grace abounded much more. So then it's true. It's biblical to say, you can, if it's easy for you to sin, it's easy for you to walk in grace if you would just do it. But there's something so warped and twisted in humans that we look at ourselves in God's eyes as seeing our failures, rather than looking at looking at things through God's eyes, looking at us saying, "Wow, they're just standing in grace." Laura and I were talking this a while ago. How come it's that someone can speak 10 positive words to you? You know, oh, I like that dress. It's such a pretty dress. It looks so good. Oh, that's such a good color. Oh, I just love what you did with your hair. Oh, I just love your shoes. Da, 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 da. 10 people can say a good thing to you. And then one person come in and say, man, what is the matter with you? You know, are you stupid or what? And what they said, that one negative is what sticks with you, not the 10 positive. Why is it that negative words spoken to you are so powerful that they just root into our brains, when positive words, you know, we get them and take them and they don't stick? Why is it that we find it's so easy to walk in sin, but yet so hard to walk in grace? The main reason is we won't forgive ourselves and walk in it. The only person stopping it's us. The only person not accepting it, walking it, is us. The Bible doesn't say that you have to be judged by a jury of 12 of your peers before you can walk in grace. It doesn't say that whatever Frank does is going to affect me walking in grace. Are y'all with me? The Bible says it's my choice. I'm either going to accept Him by faith and walk in the grace that Jesus bought and paid for me, or I'm not. It's all in me. Right? So then it's really easy to walk in grace if I'm the only one dictating if I'm deserving of walking in grace. Okay, let's go on. 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance. Everybody say abundance. Abundance. How much is abundance? Can you, if it's an abundance, can you use all of an abundance? I think abundance, if you say abundance, it means more than you could use. Right? More than enough, but more than you could use. Right? For if one man's offense, death reigned through one, much more those who received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. An abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You reign. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You reign. The word there, reign, if you look it up in the Greek dictionary on it, it means to rule. Reigning, ruling. Okay? It doesn't mean reign like, whoa, whoa. But it kind of could be like that. Like you're steering your stagecoach down the road. But reigning means to rule. So you're going to rule your life by these two very important things that you've got to get hold of. Grace and righteousness. Without an understanding of grace and righteousness, you're not going to rule. So let me put it this way. Without you understanding your position in Christ, you're not going to rule. In the sin of your life, or the weakness of your life, or the infirmities of your life, or the problems of your life, you're not going to rule it. If you don't understand righteousness, your position, righteousness, right standing with God, not by what you did, but by what you believed. But what the blood did. But what poured off that cross on Calvary for us. When you understand that you're righteous because of what Jesus did and you believe in Him as the Son of God, you understand that position, then you got to understand you're standing in grace. That means unlimited times to go to the throne to get help. Now I want you to know something. If you're asking God to be in your life, right in the middle of it, well, don't you think that if He's willing to use His power and His ability for you, He's got what you need to get it done? And if you're really honest with God, you're not just asking Him to do it the way you want Him to do it, but you're asking God to really fix it, no matter if that means you have to change. See, a lot of people don't want to be honest with God. They just want God to come to work for them and do things that they want Him to do. But God may say, you have this problem in life because you've got a crazy side of you over here we need to fix first, and then this will line up and be straight. Are y'all with me here? You're wondering why the water's not getting to the end of your row, and it's because there's something wrong up the line. You just keep saying, Lord, the water needs to get to the end of the row. And he says, I know it does, but there's a break down there that you got to go fix. And if you'll let me fix this part in your life, well, then the water will get down to the end of the row. When I was a kid, I probably told y'all this story, but when I was a kid, we were irrigating some farmland, and we were growing corn. And I was pretty young. I was probably 12 or 13. But I had a motorcycle. And so my dad got the bright idea that I could be the guy that rode the motorcycle down to the end of the field to check when the... Because we were watering the old days by ditches and pipes. And I could go down to the end of the field and count which rows were out. And so, you know, he'd showed me, count over so many rows, that's where the first pipe starts, and then get down to the end of the field and count over so many rows, and then you see how many come out. And then you come back up here and tell me which tubes we need to change and which go. And so I did what he told me to, and I got down to the end of the field, but the water had already got down to the end, so what happened was the water ran down, and then it started to run back up the row. So the row may not have come out, but water was going up, so I had to go up through all the muddy corn to see where I could get to, you know, where I could see the water running down each row and know that it came out. And this one row, it wasn't coming out. I mean, all the others were out, and this one wasn't. I couldn't figure out why. So I started walking up the row, and as I walked up the row, like 20 or 30 yards up the field, and there was this big crack, and water was just running right into it, and it was never going on the other side of that crack. And I never forget, as a kid, I looked at that thing and looked at that thing and thought, wow. Because water was just running right in it. Just running right in it, running right in it, running right in it, running. But it wasn't going on down the road. And it was years later that, you know, God was explaining to me some of these things that I'm teaching you tonight and saying, you know, listen, there's sometimes in life there's just a break up the ditch there, and, you know, that's got to be repaired before you can get everything else straight on down the road. And the only way you're going to get that done is to let me come into your life by grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit and begin to work in you and root out those fears, root out those insecurities, root out those things in your life so that I can move you on down. And sometimes those things are painful because we don't want to turn loose of whatever the, you know, pacifier is that we're sucking on at the time. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I just love this guy. You know, you just got to, sometimes that's what has to happen. You know what I'm saying? God has to come in and work us. But he's saying, Paul's saying to the church at Rome that I'm saying to you tonight, it's as easy to walk in grace as it is to walk in sin. It's just the choice we make. It's the choice we make. It's the choice to walk to the throne to say to the Father, I need some help. He gave me the Holy Ghost to help him, help me to understand what I need to do and fix it in my life. And you know what? He will. He will. That's the beauty of ruling and reigning in life through Christ Jesus by grace and righteousness. Amen? Well, praise God. If you can do it, there's no end to what God can do with you. Amen? Well, glory to God.